Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Avodah Zarah, daf Ayin Hey, the second to last daf of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We are holding on daf Ayin Dalet and Beis at the bottom of the page, Bameh, Min Nagvan, four lines from the end of the page. Last word on the line is Bameh. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, Ali Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, Shalom, and Hashem, Hashem, and Ali, and we thank him very much for the sponsorship. And also, we want to once again mention that we are joining together with all Torah, all Daf, and all Torah to celebrate our finishing of Seder Nezikin Be'ezras Hashem at an event in North Woodmere here in our shul. An opportunity to join in person Thursday, September 11th. For details and RSVP, visit Zev, it's at bknw.org. It's on our homepage, bknw.org. Or if you prefer more complicated things, you can go to go.alldaf.org/cm5t. Okay, so today what we're going to discuss is the following. First, we're going to talk about how to kasher a wine press with niguv, and then we're going to discuss kashering different items used in winemaking for yayin esek and for taros, meaning if there's a problem of tuma with these items, if there's a problem of yayin esek with these items, how do we kasher a variety of these different items? Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to have a machlokas, how much stuff becomes tame when an amaretz touches a cluster of grapes in a wine press. Only the cluster, the stuff around the cluster, everything in the wine press. What exactly becomes tame if an amaretz who chazal where goes or tuma on touches a cluster of grapes that's sitting in a wine press? Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to introduce us to how to handle purchasing or acquiring kelim from a nachri. Now you have two issues that you got to deal with: tevilas kelim and hechsher kelim. So the Mishnah is going to introduce us to both of those obligations. The Gemara is going to discuss two potential sources for the requirement of tevilas kelim and why it is that we need two separate sources in the Torah for tevilas kelim. Then the Gemara is going to discuss which kelim, both in terms of usage and in terms of material that it's made from, which kelim require tevila. Because there are lots of kelim that we have in our homes that don't require tevila. My desk, my chair, all those things, I never tovel. So what requires tevila, what doesn't, both in terms of usage and in terms of the materials that it is made of. And then at the end of the daf, we'll see, maybe we won't get to it today, but different types of hechsher kelim depending on the usage of the kli, about in terms of what type of cooking or food usage that kli had. So you'll have different levels of hechsher kelim. So let's begin again. We are four lines from the end of the page on daf ayin dalet and beis. Bameh minagvan. So we had said that we had said in the Mishnah that if a guy puts Zephes on his wine press, and the wine press is made out of stone, it needs niguv. So how does one accomplish niguv? Rav Amar b'mayim, Rav Aruchan Amar b'efer. Rav says use water, and Rav Aruchan says use ashes. So says more, Rav Amar b'mayim v'lo b'efer. You think Rav thinks that it's called niguv when you just put water in and no efer in? That's ridiculous. Meaning water doesn't dry things. Water does the opposite of drying things. And Rav Aruchan Amar b'efer. What's Afer going to do if there's no Mayim to rinse something off and to scrub things off with? It doesn't make any sense to have only Afer and not Mayim. Ella, no, rather what they're arguing about is the order with which we use these two ingredients of Afer and Mayim. Rav Amr b'mayim v'adin la'Afer. Rav says start with Mayim and then you put Afer in afterwards. Rav b'chan Amr la'Afer v'adin la'Mayim. That you start with Afer and then you rinse with water after the Afer, velo pligi, and the truth is they're not even arguing with one another. Haber tivasa, habi abeshta. When Rabbi Ravchana says that you're menagev be'efer and then with mayim, he's talking about a wine press that still has some moisture from the wine. So first you need to scrub with efer in order to get it dry, and then you rinse it with water. When Rav said that you're menagev with mayim and then with efer, he was talking about when it's dry. So first you need to moisten it, and then use Afer to scrub it clean. So Itmar be Rav Mishmei de Rav Amri Tarti Tlas. In the Beis Medrash of Rav, they said in the name of Rav that the number of times you actually need to dry out the wine press that the guy had used is two or three, meaning if it's a dry wine press that doesn't have any moisture in it, you need two things. You need two steps. First, Mayim to moisten it up, and then Afer. But if it's a wine press that is already moist, then you need to do three steps. Afer, then to dry dry out the wine that's there, then mayim, then efer again. Ushmol amar tlas arba, and Shmuel says the number of times you need to dry out the wine press that the guy had pressed grapes on is tlas arba. It's either three or four. That if it's a moist wine press, you need efer, mayim, efer, according to Rav. And if it's a dry wine press, you need mayim, efer, mayim, efer. So it turns out that according to Rav, you need to be menagev a dry wine press with efer only once, and according to Shmuel, you need to use efer twice. So the Gemara brings another lashon in the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Besura masnu hachi. In Sura, we learned the machlokas the way we just presented it. But pumbedisa masnu be Rav amri mishmed Rav and pumbedisa. They said that in the base medrash of Rav, they said in the name of Rav tlas arba, that a dry wine press needs three steps. Mayim, efer, mayim, and a moist wine press needs four steps. Efer, mayim, efer, mayim. Whereas a Shmuel amar arba chamesh. Shmuel says that it's four or five. That if it's a moist wine press, it's efer, mayim, according to Rav, and like Rav said. But if it's a dry wine press, you need five steps. Mayim, efer, mayim, efer, mayim. Velo pligi. And the truth is, there's no machlokas between the way it was presented in Surah and the way it was presented in Pumbedisa. Mar kochashav maya basra'i, mar lo kochashav maya basra'i. In Surah, they didn't even count the last rinse with water that's after the efer. So therefore, they said, shtayim mishalosh, according to Rav, and shalosh v'arba, according to Shmuel. But in Pumbedisa, they count the last rinsing with water, and therefore, they count three or four according to Rav and four or five according to Shmuel, period. Baimine Rabbi Yavo. So Rabbi Yavo raised the following shayla. Hani gurge dar ma'i, these ropes that they would use to tie together the grapes for the pressing, so that the grapes don't scatter all over the place. Like these ropes were made like a netting that they would hold the grapes in place so that they wouldn't roll all over the place. Mai, how are you machshir such ropes? Amar Rabbi Avo Tanisua, we learned this in a brisa. Hareisha, you gatav ubeis badav. If you have your wine press or your olive press tamei, and that were tamei, so the brisa talks about tuma. And you want to make it tahor so that whatever you use it for in the future does not become tamei from the previous tamei items that were placed in there. So granted, this is about tumah, and we're discussing yayin nesach, but the end of the brisa is going to make it very clear that the dinim are the same, that whatever you kasher from tumah is the same way you kasher for yayin nesach. So we'll get there. So what do you do if you have these wine press and the olive press that had handled tamei items? So up in the boards that they would use to press down on the grapes of the olives, and the press itself that they would put the grapes into, and the brooms that they would use to sweep back into the press the grapes that are rolling away, and they would rinse them with water, and through that they have a tahara just by rinsing it with water. Rashi writes, whoa, wait a second, the wine press can be kosher just by rinsing it with water? We just got through saying you have to be menagev with the efer and mayim and efer and mayim, however many times, but there's definitely efer involved. It's not just a quick rinse with water. So says Rashi, you see that this brisa disagrees with our Mishnah and holds that adach b'mayim is just is good enough. And the fact that the Gemara brings a raya in terms of had a paskin on the shaila about the ropes from this brisa and makes it sound like this brisa is an authoritative brisa tells you that we paskin like this brisa. So we're going to paskin like this brisa against our Mishnah, that there is no requirement of niguv with efer at all. All you need to do is be madiach, is rinse it off. The Ritva says, come on, how come the Gemara doesn't at least ask on our Mishnah from the brisa? Meaning, if the brisa is against the Mishnah and we're paskin, how come it doesn't, the Gemara asks stira between the brisa and the previous Mishnah and also, what's the, and throughout Shas, we always do that. Also, what's the raya that the halacha is like this brisa? It's just because we paskin like one din in this brisa, which we're bringing a raya from, which we didn't even get to yet, it means we paskin like every din in the brisa, even those dinim in the brisa that are explicitly against the Mishnah? So that's why the Rashba and the Ritva quote in the name of Rabbeinu Tam that Adashim over here means a yam. It's a different type of kli that it does not mean the press itself, like Rashi says. Rashi Adashim means the wine press itself. No, Rabbeinu Tam says the wine press itself we're not discussing. We already discussed that. That you need Nefer, that you need to go through the process. This is some other element that they would use in the pressing of the wine. Okay, so it's something else. Back in the Brisa, Va'akolim, those ropes that we're talking about, that we raised the Shaila about, Shel Netzarim, Shel Bitzbutz, if they're made out of branches or other types of material, Minagvan, you have to dry them with Mayim and Nefer, because they absorb the time of the Yayin, Vishal Shifa, Vishal Gemi, and if they're made out of Shifa or Gemi, Miyashtan, Shemas, or Chodesh, then you're not allowed to use them for 12 months. You have to wait till they age 12 months so that they totally dried out, and whatever time is in them is gone. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Manichan migas legas mibad lebad, that you don't use them from one wine pressing season to the next, or one olive pressing season to the next. It's not 12 months, it's from one season to the next. So says Haynu Tanakama, seasons are annual, so one season to the next is the same as 12 months. What do you mean that those are different things? So the truth is, Tosfos in Maseches Nida raises the question, it's not exactly the same. 12 months implies that the item has to not be used for 12 months, right? Whereas season to season means from the end of this season to the beginning of next season, which is going to be a little bit less than 12 months. I don't know how long the wine pressing season is, but let's say it's 2 weeks. So it means it's going to be 2 weeks less than 12 months, right? It's going to be 11 and a half. Months. So Tosfos in Maseches Nida says that clearly when we say 12 months, it can't mean 12 full months, because how can you have a wine press that you only use every other year? So it must be that 12 months means from one season to the next, assuming that the seasons stay on schedule. And that's why the Gemara is asking that Haynu Tana Kama. All right, so Ika Binayu, so the Gemara explains, Nafkamina between them is Churfi Va'afli. What if the window between one wine pressing season and the next is narrowed because the grapes of the second year are quick to ripen and the grapes of the preceding year were slow to ripen, or for that matter the opposite, that the gap is expanded because the grapes of the earlier year were quick to ripen and the grapes of the later year were slower to ripen, you still need to wait one season to the next season, as opposed to the sheet that says Shemas HaChodesh, it's only when it's on track where it falls out the same time of year. Rabbi Yossi Yomar Arotza L'tarun Miyad. Rabbi Yossi says if you want to be mitar this stuff right away without having to wait 12 months, so there's a way to do that as well. Magilim Barotchin, you could use boiling water to do agala, and agala will kasher it as well. Or you can cook it in water that cooked olives in it previously. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Rabbi Yossi Omer, Manich and Tach Sinor Shemem of Mekalchon and B'mayon Shemem of Rodfin. Another possibility of how to kasher it right away is put it underneath a pipe that has flowing water, or in a spring that has gushing water, Vikama, and how long do you need to keep it in flowing water in order to be confident that you cleaned out all of the tam of whatever yayin was in there before? Ona. You need to leave it for an ona, which literally means a period of time. The Gemara is going to discuss what's that? What period of time? How long of a period of time? So Kederek Shomer V'Yayin Nesach, but first the Brisa concludes, and just like we say by Yayin Nesach, Kach Amru B'Taros, the same kashering process is necessary if you're being mitayer, if you're cleaning it out for Taros purposes, because you want to use the wine press for Taros stuff, and it had previously been used for Tame stuff. So says Mara, the whole Brisa was about Taros. The whole Brisa spoke about wanting to be mitayer. So Klap Elayah, Bitaros Kaminan, what do you mean, just like we say in this Brisa about Yayin Esach, so too about Taros? The Brisa wasn't about Yayin Esach, it was about Taros. Elo, Kederek Shomru Bitaros, Kachom Rabbi Yayin Esach. No, it's the opposite. That just like we say by Taharos in this Brisa, same dinim will apply for Yayin Esach. That if you want to kasher the various elements of the wine press for the same, because of Yayin Esach, same dinim. Vikama, and we had said, Vikama Ona, we had said that you wait an Ona of, not wait, you have it flowing under, you have it going, you place the wine press under the flowing water for an ona. So kama ona, how long is an ona? Some Rabbi Chibraba and Rabbi Yochanan, o yom o laila. An ona means either a daytime or a nighttime. So either sunrise to sunset or sunset to sunrise, that is an ona, just like in Ilchus Nida. Rabbi China Sheina va'amri la Rabbi China bar Sheina amar Rabba bar Barchana amar Rabbi Yochanan chatzi yom v'chatzi laila. That an ona is half of a daytime period plus half of a nighttime period, meaning half of the time period that it takes from sunrise to sunset plus half of the time period from sunset to sunrise. Some Rav Shmuel Risach v'lo pligi, and they're not in fact arguing. They both hold 12 hours. Hub b'tkufas nisan v'tishrei, the one that said that it's got to be either a day or a night is talking about b'tkufas nisan v'tishrei when it's exactly 12 hours day is 12 hour night. So then we say 12 hours. So pick a day or a night, meaning 12 hours. Hub b'tkufas tamuz v'teves, but in tamuz and teves in the summertime where the nights are very short and the days are very long, or in the wintertime where the days are very short and the nights are very long. So then you do chatzi chatzi, chatzi night plus chatzi day, which will also land you at 12 hours. So they're not really arguing at all. Okay, so says Gemara, once we're talking about kashering different kashering parts of the wine press, now we're going to talk about kashering other types of kelim that were used with wine. Amar Rav Yehuda, hani rav ki da armai. These strainers that Goyim used, which were like bags that they would put the sediment in and the wine would drip through. Demazia, if they're made out of hair, out of human hair, madichan, you rinse them with water, and that's how you kasha them. Da'amra, if they're made out of wool, menagvan, then you do the efer mayim thing. You're menagiv it, you kasher it that way. Dikitna, if they're made out of pishtan, then miyashnan, then you have to let them wait for 12 months, because pishtan is balea a lot more, so it needs 12 months of drying out. Vika kitri, and if there are knots in it, shariluhu, you need to untie all of the knots. Hani dikuli v'chalasa darmai, the baskets and the strainers that were made out of leaves and reeds that they would strain wine with that belong to a guy. Dechiti b'chavli d'tzuri, if they are sown with palm branches, madichan, then you rinse them with water and that way you'll kasha them. Ditzavsa, if they're made with some type of gemi, then lenagvan, then you have to dry them out. Dikisna, if they're made with some type of pishtan, then miyashtan, then you don't use them for 12 months. Viyisbu, kitri, and if they have any knots in them, sharilu, you need to untie the knots. Good, now a new discussion. Itmar. Amaretz Rosh Yadu Lagas, v'naga be'eshkolos. Let's say you have an amaretz, chacham or goza, that amaretz have a din of tumah, that they're metame, a variety of things, chacham or gozer, that he's metame b'maga, and he ochlim u'mashkim or kelim. So if an ama aretz touches, he sticks his hand into the wine press, v'naga be'eshkolos, and he touches clusters of grapes that are sitting in a pool of wine. Rebbe v'Rebbe Chia, this machlokas, Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, chad omer eshkol v'kol svivosav, t'mein v'chol agas kula tahora, that one of them says that the cluster that he touched and the immediate surrounding area of that cluster is tamei, but the whole rest of the gas is tahor. V'chadam kol gas kulinami tamei, that everything in that gas is going to be tamei, even that which is not touching this eshkol, even that which is not touching this cluster of grapes. So l'maniam reshkol v'kol svivoso tamei kol gas kulatora. Well, wait a second. According to the opinion that only the cluster that he touched and the area around it is tamei, but the whole rest of the gas is tahor. Well, ma'ish tamei adetan. Why is this any different than what it says in the 8th parak of Maseches Tah? That sheretz shenim tzaberi chayim, that if you find a sheretz in a mill, now mills are normally used for grain, but sometimes they would use it to grind up olives before pressing the olives, so that the olives could be ready, you know, could be more easily pressed. So you have in an olive press, you have a mill, eino metame el makom maga'o. So you only, it's only metame, the sheretz is only metame the area that he's touching. V'im haya mashke mahalech, but if it's sitting in a pool of mashke, then a kol tamei, then everything is tamei. So how come when the amaretz touches the cluster of grapes, it's not metamei everything in the gas? Even it's l'chor, it's sitting in a pool of mashke. So by the Beis Abad with the sheretz, we say that it's metamei everything because it's sitting in a pool of mashke, and that's mitzarif everything. So the year also should be metamei everything. Says Gemara, hasam lo mifsak velo midi, hacha mafsiki eshkolos. Now by the case of the sheretz in the olive press, there are no clusters that are being mafsak mafsik between the sheretz and everything else there. So it's metame everything, because it's all viewed as one big pool, one big unit. Over here, there are these clusters that are getting in the way, that are in between, and therefore it's not considered to be one big unit. In fact, we pass in that way, that the eshkol and kol svivoseh are tameh, but the entire rest of the gas is going to be tahar. So the amaretz that touches the eshkol is only metameh part of what he touches. He's only metameh what he touches in the area right around it. He's not metameh the whole rest of it. Okay, new Mishnah now. So we have been discussing kashering wine kalim that you get from a guy. So that is the segue into the discussion of kashering and toveling any kalim, all kalim that a person may acquire from a guy. Now the makar, that kalim that are purchased from a guy require tevila. We're going to see there are two possible makaros of in the Gemara that they require tevila. The makar that they require hechsher from blios of iser is beferish in the Torah about klei midyan, that it says kolash davar asher yavo be'ish taaviru be'ish. So Rabbi Akiva Maseches Pesachim daf mem dalet says you see from there that any tam that's balua in the kli is going to be problematic for us. So that tells us that that is like the ikar meichel, and that's also in the Torah, that tam ki ikar midaraisa. You see from the parsha of hechsher kelim the concept of tam ki ikar midaraisa, because if you're not machsher the kelim, you don't have actual chazer sitting in the kli. You have tam of chazer in the dofnea kli, and apparently I need to kasher before using it. Why? Because that tam on a daraisa level is going to impact whatever food I put in there. Now Tosas and Maseches Chulin discusses whether that concept tam kikir daraisa, does that mean it's mamish kikir, that if I eat the food that I cook in the pot that it was previously used for treif, let's say it was previously used for nevela, I'm violating an iser nevela? It's mamish ikir, it's kikir that I'm violating an iser nevela, or is it that not that it's kikir? It's an iser asay, that there's a mitzvah asay in the Torah you need to be machshir the kelim. So if I'm not machshir the kelim, I'm violating the assay of tam ki ikr, the assay of tam ki ikr that I learned from the requirement of extra kelim, but it's not the actual iser of nevela. So that's the lamdish issue that Tosfos deals with. But anyway, says Gemara, lokeach klei tashmish. A person buys klei seuda from a guy. The Gemara is going to say that it's got to be klei seuda. Klei seuda is defined as not only that which you use during the seuda, but also that which you use during the preparation of the seuda. So pots and pans are not used during the seuda. A ladle is not used during the seuda, but those also require tevilas kelim. However, only kelim that actually touch the food. Kelim that even if they are used during the seuda, but they don't touch the food, are not going to require tevilas kelim. So, for example, you have a trivet or something like that. So that touches the pot, that touches the dish that the food is in, but it doesn't touch the food. So that's not going to require tevilas kelim. So anyway, so you buy klei tashmish menovli chavim eshet arko lahatpil, a kli that all it needs is tevila, meaning there are no blios of any yisr in the kli yatpil. So you do tevilas kelim and good, you did your job. Lahagil, if it was used for boiling water or for boiling liquid, so then yagil, then you need to kasher it with boiling water. Lelabin bu'ur, if it was used over direct fire, yelabin bu'ur, you need to kasher it by doing libun bu'ur, using fire to do libun. And therefore, hashaput va'askila, if you have a spit that you would roast meat with, or a grate, like a barbecue grate that you would roast meat on, so that's used with direct fire, so melabnun bu'ur, so therefore you require libun with fire. The Ritva raises the question, we spoke about lahatbil, lahagil, lalabin bu'ur, and only labin bu'ur do we start listing kelim, right? We never listed kelim, we never said, oh, lahagil, a ladle, a pot, we didn't say anything, we just said, whatever is darko lahagil, you're magil. We didn't say about things that don't use, they do not use, we just said the klal, that darko lahatbil yatbil. So the Ritva explains that it's coming to be mechalik with these kelim between the hachshara that they need when you buy from a guy, that they need libun Kippurim versus when you use them for Kachim, where by Kachim you only need Hagala in order to avoid Nosar. Meaning the halacha is that if Tam of Kachim goes into a Kli, so every Karban has a limit, a time limit within which you're allowed to eat it, and after that time it becomes Nosar. So the Blios were kosher to begin with, but then they become Nosar after some time. So we need to kasher kelim for kachim as well. But the kashering of kelim for kachim is not as intense. Ironically, it's not because it's terrible. It's not as intense. So you only need agala even on the types of kelim that deal directly with fire. So that's why we dafka want to give examples over here, says the Ritva, to say that even though these kelim, when it comes to dini kachim, would only require agala, when it comes to kashering kelim, they require actual libun. The Nimukah Yosef puts from the Rashba a slightly different answer, very different answer. He says that, no, I might have thought that some of these things would only require agala because you do have the moisture of the food that is, that you know, you have the sauces and the moisture of the food that is on them. So one might have thought that it's agala thing. So it's telling us, no, this is called, it doesn't have to be so dry in order to require libun ba'or. It just needs to be that it's not sitting in a sauce. It's not sitting in a pool of sauce, that it's over direct fire to require libun ba'or. Hasakin shafafi Torah. A knife is entirely unique in that it needs to be scrubbed and then it is kosher to use the knife. The Ran points out that the reason it mentions the koshering of a knife, even though it's included in the previous kelim, is that it depends how you use the knife. Did you use it ba'or? Did you use it b'chamed? Did you use it b'sonein? It's to tell us that even if you used it b'sonein, it's unique. That other things that are only used b'sonein, you only need to tovel. You don't need any kashering. A knife is different because of the concept of duchka de sakina, that a knife, even if it was only used bitzone, needs something else. It needs to be scrubbed much better. There is a machlokas rishonim whether when you do that scrubbing of the knife, does it now allow you to use that knife even for hot or only for cold? So the shita of Rashi and Tosfos is that it only works to allow you to use it for cold, whereas the shita of the Rambam is that it works even to allow you to use it for hot. Okay, so says Maratana Vukulan Trichin Tevila Barboim Sa. All kelim that you purchase from a Nachri is going to require Tevila in a Kashra Mikvah, Tevila in Arbaim Sa'a. The Yerushalmi famously explains that the reason it requires Tevila is because it's leaving Tumasu Shal Gai to the Kedusha of Yisrael. That's the question whether when a person converts, when a Ger converts, does he need to go Tovel all of his kelim? So Pashtus is yes, that the whole point is that it's going from the Tumah of a Nachri to the Kedusha of a Gai. There is a position of the Avnei Nezer, I think, that Shem Shmuel quotes from his father, from the Avnei Nezer, that the Tevila that the Ger himself does when he brings himself from Kedusha covers all of the kelim as well. A very difficult thing to understand. Why would that be the case? I mean, the kelim l'chorah should require their own tevila. So I think Rav Shechter paskins that you do tevila on all your kelim, but without a bracha. That when a ger converts, I think we tell our gerim that they do tevila, but without a bracha, because in deference to that Avnei Nezer. Most kelim Rav Shechter holds don't require a bracha of tevila anyway, because he holds anything that's owned by a corporation doesn't require tevila, but that's a different anything that you didn't buy from a guy, you didn't buy from an individual guy, you bought from a corporation that no one has any personal liability for, that it doesn't require tevila anyway. So he's hesitant about making brachas on tevila as it is. But that's as far as, okay. So the but in that case, it actually was a personal guy. The guy is converting, right? It was but in deference to the Avnei Nezer, he doesn't require a bracha on the tevila, or it says one should not say a bracha on the tevila. Now Tosfos points out that tevila does not need to be done after your machshir the kelim, because the reason for the tevila is not to take it from the tumah of the ma'achal of the guy, because even brand new kelim require tevila. So it doesn't. The blios don't matter as far as tevila is concerned. You need extra kelim on a kli that's been used by a guy, and you need tevilas kelim, whatever order you want. Tosa says because one has got nothing to do with the other. Not all the rishonim agree. A lot of rishonim disagree and say that no, it's like tovel v'sheretz biyado. You're going to be tovel a kli and bring it to kedushas Yisrael, and it's got blios of nevela and chazer in it. How could you possibly do that? That's tovel v'sheretz biyado. So first you have to take care of the extra kelim, and then you take care of the tevila. Tevilas Kelim. That's what we try to do L'chadchila. B'diavad, it works the other way as well. But L'chadchila, we try to first take care of the Hechsher Kelim and then the Tevilas Kelim. So says Mar Minani Mili, how do I know this din of Tevilas Kelim? So Amar Rav, Amar Krak, because the Pasuk says by the Klei Midyan, Kol Davar Asher Yavo Be'esh, Taviru Be'esh, and then it adds, Vitaher. So Hosef L'chadchosef, Tara Acheres. Apparently it's telling me that there's some other level of Tahara. There's a machlokas whether this is a real drasha d'oraisa or only in a smachta. Machlokas whether tefilas kelim is midoraisa. Pashtos is that it is d'oraisa. So that's one source. Tani bar kapara mitok shenemar. The pasuk says b'meini da. It says ach b'meini da yischata. So shemen yishatzar chazal shlishi yushvi. Meini does. I would think that it requires a chazal shlishi yushvi, like something that's tamei meis requires chazal shlishi yushvi. So tamalomer ach chalak. That's why it says ach, which is always a mute. Why does it say b'mei nida, which means normally the efer para aduma that requires, which is used shlishi yishvi, mayim shenida toveles behen. No, it's saying use the same water that a nida would go to the would be tovel in, meaning a mikvah, haviyomer b'im sa, that you need a proper mikvah 40 sa. So you don't need the whole tara process that you would have for something that's tummy mace, but you need a mikvah of mem sa in order to tovel the kelim, and that's the makar for tevilas kelim. How do I know a nida needs to go to the mikvah? Where does it ever say? It doesn't say in the Torah that a nida needs to go to a mikvah per se. So the makar of tevilas nida, Tosos writes in Maseches Yoma in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Yigon that it's a kal v'chomer, because the pasuk is mefurash that anything that a nida touches, any kelim that a nida touches, become tamei, and they require tevila. So it's a kal v'chomer if that which she touches requires tevila, then certainly she herself requires tefila. Tosos quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who derives that, no, how do I know nida requires tefila? Because it says that mei nida, it's this drasha, because it says that when you buy kelim from a guy, you're supposed to tovel it in mei nida. What's mei nida? Elamaya must be that there's some sort of water that nida is tovel in. And that's how I know that nida goes to a mikvah. I should be clear that a zava goes to through some sort of washing tara process, that's explicit in the psukim. That's explicit in the psukim parshas Metzora. That a nida goes to the mikvah is not explicit in the psukim. That's either from the kal v'chomer. It may be the pashup shot in the psukim. The Ramban points out al Torah is that a mikvah is not good enough for a zava. That a zava requires mayim chayim. That she needs a mayan. We don't pask in that way. Although the Bach writes in Yaradeya that the minug of kol hakihilos used to be that they always had a mayan for women to go in. That because the pasuk shat and pasuk is that they use mayan, but that's not how Chazal dash in the pasuk. We assume that it's a need, and it's hard to imagine. Kala kihilos had such a we never have such, we always have mikvos. We don't have mayanos for women. Anyway, v'sirch l'michtav v'ter v'sirch l'michtav menida. We need both drashos, both sources. Why? Ikas v'taher hava mina v'taher kaldehu. If it said v'taher, I would have thought yeah, in some body of water, but it doesn't need to be 40 sa'a, so kas rachmana b'meinida. That's why I say b'meinida to tell me, no, a body of water that a human being can be tovel in, that a nida can be tovel in, which is 40 sa'a. In fact, that's how we know that it's 40 sa'a, because it's the size of a body of water that fits a human body. One amma by one amma by three ammas tall, that's the size of the human body, and that's what we require for tevila. That's 40 sa'a. V'kas rachmana b'meinida, and if it only would have said b'meinida, have mina har of shemesh kenida. I would have thought that you need har of shemesh like a nida. That just like a nida is when she goes to the mikvah, she still needs to wait for har of shemesh before she can eat truma. She's mataris lebaila right away. As far as the yisra lebaila, that goes away right away. But she needs har of shemesh before she can eat truma. So I would have thought that whatever kelim you tovel, you need to wait for Harav Shemesh. So kas rachmana v'tayer li'alta. That's why he tells me, no, as soon as you bring a kli to the mikvah, good, you're allowed to use the kli. You don't need to wait for anything further. Amar avdachan ramar baravua. Afilu kelim chadoshim b'mashma. That even, we're not only talking about old used kelim, even if you're buying brand new kelim, the pasuk is covering that as well, and you need to do tevila. Taha yishanim v'libnon k'chadoshim damu. Because after all, if you have old kelim that you put through libun, that you kashered with direct fire, that's like a brand new kli. And yet the pasuk still says v'taher, that you still need to tovel it. And therefore, even a kli that the guy never used, I'm going to need to tovel. Maskar Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says, really? Any kli you buy from a guy needs tvila? Iachi afilu zuzu desar belanami. So the scissors that a tailor is going to use to cut fabrics is also going to require tevila because it's a kli that he got from a guy. So amalei klei su'uda amurin beparsha. No, klei midyan, we're only talking about klei su'uda. Only klei su'uda require tevila. Other kelim do not require tevila. So you go and you buy a television, you don't have to tovel that. You buy a chair, a desk, you don't have to tovel it. Only that which is used for su'uda requires tevila. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, lo shanu ela belukuchin ukemaisa shahaya. Avul shu'ulu no. Another critical point is you only need to tovel kelim that you purchase. You do not need to tovel kelim that you borrow. You go to a hotel and they have a glass in the in the room, and you want to have a drink of water, so you're allowed to use that glass. It wasn't toveled. It doesn't have to be toveled if the hotel is owned by a non-Jew. They don't let you keep it. It's something you're borrowing from them. So you're allowed to use it. So Rav Yisrael Bar Yosef Zavan Mana Demar Demei Ovid Kochavim. He bought a kli that was made out of earth that was mixed with Gololi Behema from Ovid Kochavim. Savalad Bila. He thought that maybe you should tovel it. Amalei Umir Rabbanan Rabbi Yaakov Shemei. So Umir Rabbanan named Rabbi Yaakov said to Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, L'didi Mefarshi Liminei Rabbi Yochanan. I heard straight from Rabbi Yochanan, Klei Matachas Amurim Beparsha. That the Klei Midyan that the Torah was talking about that require tevila are only metal kelim. So kelim made out of earth, earthenware kelim, do not require tevila. So your coffee mug made out of cheres does not require tevila. So Amar Ravashi, Hani Klei Zuchuchis, Hol V'chinishtabru Yeshlan Takana Kiklei Matachas Dami. However, a glass kli, since if it were to break, you'd be able to fix it. In that way, it has similar qualities to metal, and therefore it requires tevila midrabanan. So a lot of people make a mistake. They think that when you tovel glass, it doesn't require a bracha. It does require a bracha. It's just that the level of the chi of tevila is only midrabanan. We make brachos on drabanans as well, so it does require a bracha certainly because it's a vadei chiyuv. The only thing that doesn't require a bracha is when you're not sure if something is chayiv in tevila or not. But something that's vadei chayiv in tevila, even if it's only chayiv mitrabanan, certainly requires a bracha. Kunya, if you have a kli that's fundamentally made out of cheres, but it's lined with metal. It has a metal coating on it. So pligi bar Ravachav Ravina. That's a machlokes Ravachav Ravina. Chadamr kitchilaso. One of them says, well, fundamentally, it's a kli cheres, and therefore it doesn't require tevila. V'chadamr kisofa. And the other one says, but the whole surface of it is metal. So the surface that the food touches is all metal. So therefore, it should have a din of a metal kli. V'hilchasa. Kisofa. We paskin that it has a din of a metal kli. So that's only though the Rishonim point out that if it's mitzupa mi bifnim that it requires tevila. But if mitzupa mi bachutz it has metal on the outside of the kli and the inside is not metal, then it does not require tevila. Right? This comes. However, the Mordechai disagrees. He quotes from the Avi Ezri and the name of Tshuvas Rashi that even if it's mitzupa mi bachutz it requires tevila. Comes up a lot because a lot of times you have water bottles that are plastic on the inside, but they have a metal outside of the bottle. So does that require tevila? It's mitzupa, but it's mitzupa mibachutz with metal. I think the newer water bottles, the nicer ones, are metal on the inside also, so because they can hold the temperature better. So that for sure is going to require tevila. This also is the basis for the discussion about our dishes. Our dishes, dishes that people typically use, plates that people typically use, china plates, usually it's made out of cheres, but it has a glaze on it. So is that glazed surface, is that enough to require tevila? The Gemara comes to the conclusion, hilchsa kisofo, that if something has something, has a material that requires tevila on its surface that it does require tevila. So what's the svara for those that do not require tevila on such things? So they assume that the tzipoy that the Gemara was talking about was much thicker. It was like a really thick, independent, almost the glaze that we use, that they use on our china plates, is a very, very thin, delicate glaze. So that's not substantial enough to count, and therefore it has a din like kli cheres. Remember, Rabbi Tendler Zichrono Livracha used to teach Tevilas Kelim in the YU Smicha program when I was a Talmud there, and he held whatever he held shtark, right? So he held that dishes do not require tevila, and he I think the way he expressed it, as only he would, was that every chassan when he gets married during the week of Sheva Brachos, in an overt act of amaratzus that should have passed the shidduch meyikara, brings the kelim to the mikveh, brings the dishes to the mikveh. Okay, so you buy lehu. So the Gemara says mashkanta mai. What if someone gives it as a mashkon? So Amar Mar Baravashi, Abba mashkon leovil chavim kasa de kaspa, that my father received a mashkon from a guy, a silver cup as a mashkon from a guy, va'atplei, and he tovled it ve'ishti bei, and after tovling it he drank from it. But I don't know if he holds that it's like buying something, or he realized that the Ovid Chavim was never going to reclaim the Mashkon because he was never going to pay back the debt, so he realized that this was his permanently. So I couldn't tell what he really holds about a Mashkon. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up with Tanur Rabbanan. Everyone have a great day.